Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. I tell you, this has been a beautiful Thanksgiving day. I just want to share this verse with you. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So in everything, give thanks to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In everything we do and everything we say, drink, eat, just give a thank you and blessing him for what he has given you in today. Just spending time with family has been a blessing for me. And I tell you, the food has been so good today. And I just spent my whole day cooking a dinner, a Thanksgiving dinner, and just taking my time and just reflecting on the Lord and how he's just giving me the stamina to be able to prepare a full course meal for my family. I hope you share those same types of Thanksgiving blessings today as you reflect on the Lord and just soak in what he has blessed you to do today. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are to rejoice and be glad in it. Well, this brings us to our lesson tonight. We are going to continue to propel forward in the book of Judges, and we are going to be looking at Judges 4 and 5. And my guest host again is with us, Pastor Michael Crow with Missionary Barbers Memorial Missionary Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. And he has been such a delight in our program, showing us some beautiful nuggets in our lesson from Judges 1 all the way through Judges chapter 3. So tonight we're going to be focusing on 4 and 5 and what is the story behind Deborah and Barak in Judges 4 and 5, chapter 4 and 5. And we will look at the courageous work of them both together in conquering the Canaanites as God commanded them to do in prior chapters. How we cowered back because of fear and become useless for the work or call of God. This is not what he has called us to do. According to, and I just want to share this, according to 2 Timothy 1 and 7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So children of God are to take courage, trust and obey to the will of God because of his sovereignty. So we're just going to sit back tonight as you've got a full stomach, enjoy the lesson, and prepare your heart, your mind, and take your Bible and some note paper and just follow along with us through this journey. And Pastor Crow and I, looking at Judges 4 and chapter 5. Pastor Crow, welcome again to the program. And it's just a blessing for us to co-labor again together on another journey in Judges.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Smith. And I'd like to say hello to our listening audience. And once again, I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. And I just think we ought to be thankful every day for the blessings and mercy of God, even though we have to sometimes specify one particular day. I think we all thank him every day. Every day we wake up, we all thank him. But I like to say to all of our listeners out in Radio Land, God bless you for joining in with us today. And once again, Sister Smith, I want to thank you for the God in you for allowing the God in me this opportunity to expose God's word, explain God's word, and expound God's word, and it has truly been a blessing. And I once again want to thank you for letting the Spirit lead you and guide you. And let me just say, as we were studying, I thought about Deborah, and I thought about yourself. I compared Deborah to you as far as how God's Spirit leads you and have been leading you over the years in helping and encouraging people. So I'm just thankful. As we start tonight, I want to kind of go back over some of the key words that we have been speaking of, the Holy Spirit been teaching us over the last 2-3 programs. When we were in Judges 2, we dealt with disobedience. We dealt with defeat. And we dealt with deliverance. And once again, we specified that human failure, divine deliverance. Then we went on to chapter 3 when we dealt with Othniel, and God gave us one word. He gave us the word idolatry. Idolatry. And God in Judges 3 through Othniel encouraged us to be careful and be cautious of idolatry. And then as we went on in chapter 2, God gave us another word in Ehud, initiative. He gave us three words, initiative. And we saw how Ehud, the Spirit of God, gave him the initiative to carry out the judgment of God. And we went on in that 31st verse in that third chapter, God gave us another word when we dealt with Shamgar, involvement. And he once again encouraged us as the church today and as believers today that we ought to be involved in lifting up the name of Jesus, spreading the word of God, and letting the Holy Spirit use us to tell a dying world Jesus Christ is Lord. Those were some wonderful words. And I think tonight we could just deal with one word, Sister Smith. If you don't mind, we just want to deal with one word, I think, when we see Deborah. And that word, let's use the word rescued. Rescued. Now, once again, we can't get away from the theme of this book. I always have been, disobedience, and from the disobedience, it caused Israel to do evil in the sight of the Lord, and they ran into problems. God allowed their enemies to oppress them, take them into captivity, and then we saw where when they cried out to God, and we dealt with the power of prayer, after we dealt with human failure, after we dealt with divine deliverance, after we dealt with divine mercy, we have been encouraged, even in our downtrodden, even in our, when we make our mistakes, we still, just like the children of Israel, can cry out to God. And we call that the power of prayer. And in tonight's lesson, we see the same situation. We find out that Israel, in this situation, God uses Deborah, a prophetess. She was a married lady. uses her to encourage Barak of the tribe of Naphtali as her agent, who assisted her in her judging. And she called upon him and encouraged him to raise up against King Jabin of the Canaanites. As in verses 1 through 3. Now let's start out, Sister Smith, Sister Carnita, if you don't mind, just read the first three verses, okay, we all get on one page. Now, where we're headed, this is how we're headed. We're dealing with, number one, Israel backsliding from God. And then we're going to deal with Israel oppressed by their enemies. And in the end results, we're going to deal with Israel's returning to their God. Amen. So let's look at the first three verses, Smith, and bring us all together and get us started.
Okay, sure. Judges chapter 4, verse 1. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazar. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Har-Osheth, Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. And
Hold it right there. Once again, Israel revolted from God after God had already rescued them through the works of Ehud, Shamgar. But here we are again. The Bible said they did evil in the sight of God. In other words, they forsook God, and God forsook them, and they became easy prey to every spark. Now, that's a good point. When we, there's old saying that if God is not there with you, it's not that he moves, it's you move. And when we don't draw near to him, and we go away from him, we become vulnerable to the prey of this world. Now, in this particular situation, we're speaking of the army of Jabin. But if we brought that round, Sister Smith, to today, we become vulnerable to the things of this world. We become vulnerable to lying. We become vulnerable to gossiping. We become vulnerable to drug addiction. We become vulnerable to doubtfulness. When we draw back from God and we don't follow where he leads and we don't eat where he feeds, we become prey to the enemy. And when you look, they alienated themselves from God as if he were not there. And God alienated himself from them. Sister Smith, I'm reminded of that scripture that say that in the New Testament where God gave them over to a reprobate mind.
Right.
But before he gave them over, he gave them up about three times. I think you're familiar with that scripture. He gave them up, and then finally he gave them over. And the lesson to us today is if you have strayed away from God, if you have moved farther than you should have, I hope this lesson encourages you to get back what? Closer to God. If you consider yourself alienated from God, And you know that God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, I'm talking about us today, so that he can what? Reconcile us back to him through Christ's death. And in your situation where you are right now, you realize that you have backslid. We hope tonight the Holy Spirit will encourage you to draw near. Watch this here. They threw themselves out of God's service and out of his protection. We need the protection of God today. We're in a war, and we war not against flesh and blood, but we war against what? Principalities, powers of the dark. And guess what? When we draw from God, guess what? We open ourselves to be not protected by his will, his way, his word. And if you get a chance, Sister Smith, while I'm talking, you can look up that verse about the arm of God. He's given us everything we need to put on in this battle, but instead of putting on our helmet, instead of putting on, picking up our shield, instead of us having, we what? Get from under the protection. You familiar with that verse, that scripture, Sister Smith?
And
what? In Jeremiah 11 and 15, I think he puts it well in that verse. If you don't mind, read that verse. It kind of coincides with where we're going. Jeremiah 11 and 15. Sister Smith.
Jeremiah 11 and 15 reads this way. What has my beloved to do in my house, having done lewd deeds with many? And the holy flesh has passed from you. When you do evil, then you rejoice.
God have mercy. And we deal with, number one, the authority of God. But God allows some things to happen in our lives when we draw from him instead of drawing what? Near him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this Jabin, just for the sake of our studiers that want to study, this Jabin resides in Hazor as another in the same name, perhaps his ancestor. And many scholars would say that Joshua defeated them back when he took in the city, he slew them and burned their city. And these Canaanites had been conquered by Israel. Now that's in Genesis 9 and 25. That's just from a historical perspective. If you're studying this, I want you to get a chance to read that. Read that Genesis 9 and 25 so we can make sure we get that this may have been, some scholars say, an ancestor to the Jabin in this chapter. Do you have that, Sister Smith?
Yes. Genesis 9, chapter 9, verse 25. And it reads this way. Then he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants. He shall be to his brethren."
Mm-hmm. Now, so we see in our first point, Israel backsliding from God. Now watch this here. A God prepare to hear their cry. Verses 4 and 5, I want you to read, Sister Smith, because we'll find here that God preparation for their deliverance. See, God has to prepare us, and he's ready to prepare somebody right now just by listening to this radio station to bring you out of the situation that you're in. And he's so much God that he what prepares us. I was talking to one of my preachers today. We were coming back, and he asked me about that scripture that said, God's ways are not our ways. Our mm-hmm. thoughts are not his thoughts. Yeah, when you cry out to God, as they did, they cried out because it looked like they were in a bad situation. The enemy had 900 chariots. But as God prepared, and I want you to read 4 and 5, he had to what? Prepare us to bring us out of captivity. And somebody tonight, Sister Smith, God trying to prepare them tonight just by Amen. Going over Judges because he's preparing to bring out. Read 4 and 5. Read 4 and 5.
Genesis 9.
No, Joshua.
Okay.
Back to Joshua 4,
okay.
verses 4 and
Now Deborah, a prophetess, a wife of Lapidot, was judging Israel at that time, and she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment.
Okay. Keep reading. Keep reading.
Verse 6. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abimoam from Kadesh in Naphtali. And she and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded? Go.
Now hold it right there. Hold it right there. Now watch. As God prepare Deborah to rescue, there's that word again,
mm-hmm.
Israel once again. Look at the type. Let's look at the type of individual. And, you know, I told you when I first started, Sister Smith, that when I was studying Deborah, it reminded me of how God used you. But let's take a look at Deborah right quick, because next week when we study Gideon, we'll find out that when we look at the personality and characteristic and background of Gideon, who was just a common man. He wasn't a priest, he wasn't a preacher, he wasn't a prophet. God chose him, just a common man. But in this particular case, let's look at Deborah. Now, according to the word of God, her nickname, her surname was Deborah, which means a bee. B-E-E. The Bible says she was unselfish to the public. She was sweet to her friends and sharp to her enemies. She was employed by making wicks for lamps in the temple. She is noted as a woman of illumination and splendor. She was known, unlike Gideon was, for her extraordinary knowing and her wisdom. Now, here's a key word, and I want you to comment on this, for Sister Smith. She was acquainted with God. The importance of being acquainted with God. What is that significance, Sister Smith? Because somebody here, you don't know him in the pardon of your sin. You don't know how he sent his only begotten son. You don't know the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden. There's a lot of people don't take the time, as we stated, don't take the initiative. But the Bible says, Sister Smith, she was acquainted with God. That reminds me of you, Sister Smith. Now, how does that play to our audience tonight? What's the importance of being acquainted with God?
The importance of being acquainted with God is knowing God, not in the sense of intimacy with God. We have acquaintances out in the world, and those are maybe acquaintances that we may do some things with from time to time. But Deborah, being an unselfish woman with a sweet spirit, and she was a hard worker or willing to work, and she had splendor about herself, and not to mention wisdom. That lets me know that those are characteristics that are of God.
Mm-hmm.
God is an unselfish God. God is a loving God. And God works day and night. He does not slumber. He is everywhere at all times. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He is mighty in his work and his splendor. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
His splendor, his glory, the beauty about himself. And then we know he's just all-knowing.
Yeah, yeah.
We get wisdom from him, all-knowing. He's all-knowledgeable. But this is the God that we serve. And then for him to love us before we even loved ourselves. God is a God that wants us to know him. For my determined purpose is to know him. Not
yeah.
to have knowledge of him, but to draw into him, that we become intimate with one another, that we can become one in relationship. And I believe that her knowing God Almighty, Jehovah God, and to be a chosen vessel by God for her to accomplish his will according to such a time as this in chapter 4 with Barak, I just believe that is just one beautiful thing that we can experience now, right now, that
mm-hmm.
we are all called according to his purpose. And I like what it says in Romans 8:28. It says, all things work together. And that's what this is, what we see right before our eyes in chapter with Deborah. All things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose, who love him. They work together. She loves God. And he called her to work together his purpose and plan for Israel. I mean, it's just, and it comes back to our intimacy with God. So today is the day for us to draw into him first by repentance. Repenting and accepting, crying out to him that he will rescue us from a messed up person.
Yes, Lord. Well, you know, Sister Smith, and as we study Gideon, and I'm making this comparison now, next when we look at Gideon, the scripture doesn't give us all that information on Gideon. And
no,
you'll
no.
find out next week Gideon say, well, wait a minute, now I'm the least of all the folks. I mean, you know, you want me? And Gideon has some hang up. But God can use whoever he wants to use, whether they be great in the eyes of men or whether they be poor in the sight of men. It's God. But now watch this, Sister Smith. Not only was she acquainted with God, she was a prophetess instructed in divine knowledge of God by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Not a in our own spirit, not in our own way, and oftentimes darkness always try to confuse the issue, and we as believers have to be careful, because when the Holy Spirit works in us, for us, through us, sometimes we tend to take advantage or try to tend to make it seem like it got something to do with us. But her knowledge comes from the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And let me calm down, because oftentimes, man, I get discouraged sometimes, because when God uses us in a miraculous way, we tend to want to take his glory. We tend to want to say it's something that we can do with our mouth, or we can do with our hands, or because we studied at a certain location, or because we were raised a certain way, because we have knowledge in a certain field, we tend to think it got something to do with us. But Deborah was instructed in divine knowledge by the Spirit of God. And all I want to say to us as believers tonight, and those that battle with flesh and blood, I pray that the Holy Spirit is your instructor. And now watch this here. Watch this, Sister Smith. She heard words of God, and many scholars say she may have even seen a vision of God. Now watch this. Now watch this, and then we're gonna do a little bit more reading, Sister Smith. Mm-hmm. When I think about Habakkuk, when Habakkuk didn't understand why God would allow evil people, the Chaldeans, to chastise them because of their sin. And Habakkuk just couldn't understand that. But we found out in that second chapter what Habakkuk did after he questioned God twice as to why. He finally came to the conclusion, like we have to come to God, do it what he want, when he want, if he want, and how he wants to, because he God. And Habakkuk had to learn that, and we have to learn that. And the Bible says that Habakkuk said, well, I'm just going to sit on the wall and write down what you tell me. And that's how God communicates with us as human individuals. He communicates to us through prophecy. Habakkuk said, I'm going to write it down. The scripture here say she heard the what? Word of God. So God communicates with us through prophecy. And oh my God, if that was ever, Sister Smith, if that was ever a time that the prophecies of God is coming to be, we're living in them right now in these closing days of grace. And they say she heard the what? Words of God. And now watch this here, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, Sister Smith, because again, as I studied this, it reminded me of you. She was entirely devoted to the service of Israel. Talked about how she sat under the palm tree. And that palm tree right now is called the palm tree of Deborah. Josephina said that children of Israel came to her to pray to God for them, that they might be delivered out of the hand of Jabin. Isn't that something, Sister Smith?
Amen.
Dedicated, instructed by the Spirit of God, heard the word of God. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
And not taking it for herself, but it was what? The word of God. Isn't that a blessing, Sister Smith?
Amen. Amen.
But now watch this, watch this. Let's move on a little further. Now I want you to read verses 6 and 7. I think we stopped at 5. Why don't you start with verse 5 and read to the 7th verse, Sister Smith.
And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinadab, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon. And I will deliver him into your hand."
Now, wait a minute. Hold it right there. See, this is what, when we what? Follow where he leads.
Mm-hmm.
When we eat where he feeds, we don't ever end up in want. By God's direction, I'm talking about through the prophetess Deborah, she in turn communicates and orders Barak to raise up an army to engage Jabin forces. And all I'm trying to say today is, if from a spiritual perspective, it might make sense to some and it may not make sense to others. I pray that as the Holy Spirit be the preacher and the teacher of this program, that it will lead someone into the direction of what God wants them to do. We don't want this to be a show that makes it someone think that it's the individual talent of Sister Smith. Not that it's the teaching of Pastor Crow, but the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, in our lives, through the Word of God, can instruct somebody, I'm talking about his fellow soldiers, in engaging in this war that we are in. Because we're in a war. Not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and power. Yeah, I know there's some other physical war going on, but I'm talking about we in the war. And all God trying to do through his word, all God trying to do through Sister Smith in this program, all God trying to do through the preachers on Sunday, all God is trying to do through the prophetess and evangelists and those people that are trying to tell a dying world that Jesus Christ is Lord, tell a dying world to put on the whole arm of God. He's just trying to give us some direction. Problem is, will we follow? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Israel found himself in a bad situation again. But God, well, how do you do that, preacher? Through the power of prayer. We see here how she orders Barak to take up an army of what? 10,000. God will tell you. God will lead you and guide you. Do you agree, Sister Smith? If God has a plan for you, he has the whole plan. He got God is a God of order. He has every ordered plan already scheduled for your life, already scheduled. But you must what? Follow where he feeds. And I thought about you, Sister Smith, when it came down, how God bless you with this radio station to do well.
Amen.
And I think we can draw on the significance of letting the Holy Spirit lead us, Sister Smith. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I concur with you in that respect, because again, it's not when God calls us out from a dying world, we are called for His purpose. And if you notice in verse 6, it says, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded?" And you rest right there. Maybe in some translations there may be a comma there. I mean, rest for a few minutes. Think about that. Has not the Lord called or commanded you who are listening tonight? He's commanded all of us. And He's commanded us to do what? Go. G-O. Go. And we're all commanded, just like preachers and teachers and evangelists and those out there who we can clearly see are fighting a battle. But for those of us who may be a little timid, a little discouraged from going, and as we read through this passage, we'll see a little character trait of Barak. And as I read through this, Pastor Crow, it popped out at me when she and him were dialoguing together concerning how are we going to do this? How is this going to take place? But as you had said, we're all, as believers in Christ Jesus now, we're all commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Teach the word of God, leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would become baptized in the Holy Spirit, that they would be made new, and tell somebody, extending the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what this program is about. And you're so right, Pastor Crow. This is what God has commanded me to do, is to expose the word of God, expound on it, explain it, and then extend His hand to those who need a Savior. So, amen. Yes, you're right.
No, now watch this. Watch this, because nowadays and in the past and probably in the future, oftentimes because darkness is the author of confusion.
Yes.
Sometimes we could, if we're not prayerful, we could be discouraged. Darkness wants to what? Discourage us.
Mm-hmm.
And in reading the scripture, Barak had been discouraged. He had two things that really discouraged him that the Lord had to work out for him. And you missed it there. Number one, he wanted, according to the word of God, a commission to levy forces. And Deborah gives him, under the broad seal of what? Heaven, a warrant to fix it. Because she said, and you quote this scripture, "Have not the Lord God of Israel commanded it? Yet certainly he has. Take my word for it." And has not God by a secret whisper to thyself given thee some intimidation of his what? Purpose to make use of thee as an instrument in his hands to save Israel. Had not thou felt some impulse of this kind upon thy spirit? If so, the spirit of prophecy in Deborah confirmed the spirit of a soldier in Barak. and say, go and draw, toward Mount Tabor. And she directs him in the number of men, 10,000, and let him not fear that thee will be too few. Now, Sister Smith, on next week, when we look at Gideon, and boy, that's why I'm always amazed at the work of God, and I'm amazed at His Word, and that's why I appreciate the Holy Spirit teaching us and explaining the Word, exposing the Word. Now, we'll see next week where Gideon, after the Spirit of God led him to understand what God wanted him to do, he started out with 32,000. And with that 32,000, he was ready to go and do what God wanted him to do. But God, we'll see next week, showed him that that was too many. You're familiar with that story. That's too many.
Yeah.
And God, we'll see next week, told him, say, now, let all the people that's afraid, let them go. Send them on back home. You can't go to battle with no scary folks. I wish I had somebody. I don't know. We ought to have somebody out there. You want somebody who's going to stand their ground. You don't want somebody who's going to turn. God said, you don't need no scary folks. And here we are again. And you said it earlier, Sister Smith, if you're scary, if you're timid, if you kind of weak, well, you go on home and sit on the sideline. God don't need no scary believers. He don't need no weak.
Yes, you're right. And that's verse 8 in chapter 4. Barak makes mention of that type of scariness in verse 8. Let me read it. It says, and Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. Verse 9. So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And that was verse 9. So it shows he was somewhat fearful, maybe because of the iron chariot that they had, 900 iron chariots, and maybe because of the team of people and those horses and chariots, you know. And so she even made mention that the commander of Jabin's army with his chariots and his multitude at the river of Kishon. And then she says, in verse 7, and I will deliver them into your hand. And so he was somewhat fearful, and we can be that way from time to time. Even when we are having to do something, like you said, that might be great or small, the enemy wants us to be fearful so that the work of God won't be accomplished and through us in our life today. And I was somewhat fearful in starting this program. But God walked with me in the beginning of this program, Mission from the Heart. And I like that. I usually call that, Pastor Crow, on the job training. He walked with me. He led me by the hand. And I like that verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that I read in the beginning of the program, where it mentions that for God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I had to reflect on not operating in fear. But knowing that the power of God, just as Barak, and knowing that the love of God, the comfort of God, would lead us to victory.
Yeah.
And for those of us who may be a little timid or operate in fear, walk by faith and not by sight. And I just believe that that's what Barak had to man up and do. And sometimes, you know, when we have the comfort of God, just as he looked for the comfort of Deborah, being right with him, going with him, we need the comfort of God from time to time. Because if the enemy can get into our minds and plant a seed of fear, then we won't move. But when we trust and obey God, he gives us
and
the
power
through the Holy Spirit, Pastor Crow.
You know, just to give a little sneak preview, and then I'm going to let you finish up on this because I'm excited about next week when we deal with Gideon. When God told, when Gideon had the 32,000, Sister Smith, and God told him, he said, see, if I let you win with the 32,000, you'll think you did. You think it was the greatness of the army that you had. You think it was the smartness and the technical skills of the generals. He said, but you got too many. You got too many. And when he allowed them, he told them to send them home, he ended up with 10,000. And you know what God told us, Smith?
Mm-hmm.
You still got too many. He said, I got a little test for you, Mr. Gideon. Take that 10,000 down to the river. Now, this next week lesson, and I'm going to cut it off because I'm already excited about next week lesson. he said, take them down to the river, and those that lap the water like dogs, keep them. But those that get down on their knees and drink the water in abundance, send them home. And when you read into that, Sister Smith, see, those that lap water like dogs are the kind of people you want, because when you inbound, you might not be able to get an abundance. You might not be able to get but a lick of water. You might not have all the necessary, and you still got to be able to survive. Some folk can't abide without the abundance. And they're going to get down, they're going to drink all they can. Are you with me? But in this balance, sometimes you're not going to have the abundance. You got to be able to lap just a little bit and keep going. And look, when it's our ways and not God's ways, he ended up with 300. And Lord have mercy, I'm not going to finish. I have to finish up on this week.
We don't want to get too far into our next series, but I tell you, it's going to be an exciting one. I can just feel the fire that's coming from you, ready to deliver, you know, and bring out some beautiful points in that lesson, I tell you. But Deborah and Barak, you know, this lesson has been a joy to me because, as you made mention on how it reminded you of myself in certain ways, it really did remind me of myself. And also, I hope that this reminds you of yourself in so many ways as those who are listening to the program, because God wants to raise up some Deborahs. He wants to raise up some Baraks. He wants to raise up some Joshuas and some Moses. You know, he wants to raise us all up for a purpose and a plan. He has one for each and every one of us. And just looking at chapter 4 and 5, you know, through Deborah and Barak, yes, they rose up for a call and a purpose, and it was accomplished. And as chapter 5 explains, they sang about it. And you made mention of Habakkuk 2 and 2, chapter 2, verse 2, and how he wrote the vision and made it plain, wrote it on tablets so that it wouldn't be forgotten. And I just think some of the dreams and the visions that God's given us, some of our purpose and plan, we need to write it down. That you can see the pages just take shape before your eyes. And I'm talking about a call and a purpose in your life. Now, it may not be as great as fighting armies such as Deborah and Barak did, but some of the armies that we come against in our lives, depression. We deal with stress on a daily basis. Some of us deal with jealousy that we can't overcome. And some of these things, they overcome us and become a giant in our life, just as David fought off Goliath. Look at some of the Goliaths, some of the giants named Goliath in your life. And we can rattle off two or three of them. So Deborah accomplished some things along with Barak, and it just shows that, what is that? I'm not sure of the verse, but it says a threefold cord or a three-strand cord is hard to break, Pastor Crum?
Oh, yeah.
And how God, Deborah, and Barak, the three, accomplished? Well, with us, we have God the Father. We have the Holy Spirit living within inside of us. And with a willingness to go, we can accomplish the plan that God has for us, the call, and not be fearful because he is with us. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Sister Smith, I just want to interject this in, and it'll be my last night until next week. While I'm sitting here, I just wonder, is there anybody in listening audience that can say that Jesus Christ rescued them out of their trouble? I'm talking about here come the judge. And, you know, we talking about these judges, but we talking about the ultimate judge. And, Sister Smith, I dare not end any kind of conversation without bringing up the gospel. And when all is said and done, even though as we studied the judges and how God used them in the Old Testament, it's rejoicing time in the New Testament because Jesus Christ rescued us. And that's something to shout about.
That is something to shout about. And that's what they did in chapter 5 that we didn't really get to point out, and we still have time, but that's what they did when they were rescued. If we look at chapter 5, I believe, it says this, at the how many days they had peace, 20 years of 40 years, they had a time of peace. And I tell you, they sang about it, they had peace, and God gave them refuge. And it was just amazing on how they rejoiced. And when God brings us through a circumstance, Pastor Crow, and for those who are listening, walk with me when he brings us through a circumstance, some devastating, some traumatic, and even some have experienced loss, a circumstance. I don't know how severe your circumstance may be, Pastor Crow, but I'm in a circumstance right now. I'm in a situation. And when I can praise the Lord through the circumstance and fall on my knees and worship him, praise on my heart, somehow or another, it just does not make the circumstance feel or seem so abrasive, so heavy. And it turns my attitude around, my human spirit around, my soul rejoices. And this is what he wants us to do, rejoice. When we're in the valley, rejoice. When we're on the mountain, rejoice. And that's what they did in chapter 5. They sang on that day. They rejoiced. And the words give a little more detail on with what God did for them in that particular battle. And yes, they did evil in the eyes of God, just as you said in the beginning, Pastor Pro. They did evil in the sight of God. But through their oppression, God prepared to bring them out through a prophetess, Deborah, a woman who was unselfish, a woman who was sweet, employed, a woman of splendor. You shedded a lot of light on her character, the type of woman she was. And then even though Barak may have seemed a little timid, God used them both, and they sang about it. And one song I just want to bring to light that maybe some of us grew up in the church singing, and we may know this particular song. It goes this way. Now, I'm not going to sing it, but this is what was brought to my heart as I was studying these two chapters. A song called Victory Is Mine. And we sing it this way, but I'm going to say the words and not sing the melody of the song. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind me. Victory today is mine.
Yes.
Joy is mine. Peace is mine. Love is mine. We go on, and it says, victory today is mine. And that is what we are to sing about. Victory today is mine, Pastor Crow. And even though the enemy comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy God's children, he tries now. Doesn't mean he succeeds. He tries to throw stumbling blocks in our journey and to bring us off kilter to where we would sit, soak, and sour and not rejoice in the Lord through our circumstance. If he brought you through that, he will bring you through this today. Victory is mine. And they sang about that. So in your personal study time, please read Chapter 5. It may seem long, it may seem like a boring song, but allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you. Some of those verses do shed some light, and it gives some details in chapter 5, especially verse 4. And I'm just going to take the time to read that verse 4 in chapter 5 of Judges. It reads this way: Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured. The clouds also poured water. think about that. The earth trembled, the heavens poured, and the clouds also poured water. Well, I'm not a weather woman, but when the clouds pour water, that sounds like rain to me.
Sounds like a blessing to me, too.
Yes, indeed. And even if I moved on down in the song to verse 20, it says this: they fought from the heavens. The stars from their courses fought against Sisera. Who was Sisera? Sisera was the king in chapter 4. They had chariots, 900, with horses. So who fought the battle? The battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. He brought rain, thunder, and lightning. I can just imagine those chariots trying to maintain their course, but because of slippery slopes, causing the wheels on the chariots to slip and slide, bringing the man possibly with a bow and arrow to come down off of his chariot, Pastor Crow.
Yes, Lord.
And bring their enemy to their feet. Now we're on the same level. You come down off that chariot because of the God who brought Goliath down with how many smooth stones, Pastor Crow? And brought that giant down to his knees. And David went and decapitated his head. And
Smith, let me cut in here right now. I want you to finish, but not the other old. And they watch, look like your voice changing. Watch your voice, Sister Smith. Look like
yes, sir.
Go on.
Because I didn't want to go into my preaching mode, but I was sitting with my teacher.
Your voice changed, old man.
It did change.
I was trying to speak calm over here. You know, I didn't want to get out, but watch your voice, Sister Smith.
We didn't want to get too excited, but it's something to be excited about, Pastor Crow, because I know you are so excited on moving toward Gideon, and I'm excited with you. I'm just ready. But, you know, when we are in a circumstance and we are trying to find our way, looking for peace in all the wrong places, the peace of God will keep us on that straight and narrow road when we know that his scripture says, lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. And he will, not he might, but he will direct our path. Through our tears, he will direct. Through our uncertainty, he will give us direction. But we've got to hear him. And that's where you've got to know him for yourself. And that we extend Jesus as a way to our Father, God. For he is the way, he is the life. And we are to trust him. So, Pastor Crow, I really enjoyed this lesson. I really enjoyed the richness of what came out of these two chapters.
My Lord.
God is our battle axe. He goes before us. He brought down the Jericho wall.
Yes.
And he will bring
down. And he's
down
still bringing down Jericho walls today. He ain't stopped back then. He's doing it right now today.
Yes,
and
he
I'd like to say to you, Sister Smith, you mentioned, and we all have some situations and circumstances. But let us keep in mind that these lessons that God, through the Holy Spirit, is teaching us, it starts out with me. Before it goes in radio land, it starts out with me and it starts out with you. It's a lesson for me. And when there's a saying that oftentimes folks walk, talk it, but they can't walk it. Yes. Oftentimes people lip it, but they can't live it. Oftentimes people profess it, but they don't possess it. And I just want to re-encourage our audience tonight that the Holy Spirit in you can walk it and talk it. Amen. The Holy Spirit in us can lip it and live it. And the Holy Spirit can profess it and possess it. And oftentimes when God uses us, darkness shoots all kind of arrows and slings. And I just want you to stay on your knees and let his will be done.
Amen.
And he'll take care of your situation. You know he will, because it's not his first rodeo. It's not your first time he brought you through. And if he did it before, if he did it for Barack and Deborah, he's an unchanging God. He'll do it right now today. Thank you so much, Sister Smith.
Amen. I think, and as you were sharing that, it let us know that here comes the judge. He came. He's coming, and he's here. And this series, these chapters showed me God's love for them again. He rescued them, and he gave them 40 years of peace. Now, that's a long time considering.
Yes, it is.
How many relapses they've had and they will continue to have. But his grace is sufficient. His mercy is continual. I tell you, and he's a God that loves, and that's the beauty of Yahweh God. If there's anyone that is listening that, you know, that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves, I want to extend a prayer of salvation to you right now, because this is the day that the Lord has made for you to come to know him intimately and personally in the pardoning of your sins. So if you would just pray with me right now, and just a little prayer, but you prepare your heart to receive our Lord and Savior's free gift of salvation. So if you would pray with me and those who are listening, you know, as believers in Christ Jesus, let's pray with one another and for the those that are without Jesus, that they would receive him. So I'm going to pray, and pray along with me, and pray this prayer with a tender heart that you would receive his free gift. Father God, I love you. I praise you. I need you right now. Lord, forgive me for the things that I might have said that were not right with you, and how I've thought about you and about others, and how I've acted, Lord, that just was not right. Lord, I receive you as my Savior. I extend my hands to you as my God, my Lord, my Savior. I love you, Lord, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my mind and strength. Lord, come into my heart. I want your Holy Spirit right now to live inside of me. Clean me up, Lord, that I would be a light shining bright for you. Lord, I want to draw into you just as Deborah did, and I receive you right now as my Savior. I want to be born again. I trust you, and I believe by faith that you died for my sins, Lord. And I receive your Holy Spirit right now in the pardoning of my sins, because I know you love me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
And I just hope that you have received God as your Lord and Savior intimately, and that you would get into a Bible teaching church, that you would be discipled, and that you would grow in grace and go, just as Deborah commanded Barack to go, and know that God has given you a sound mind and not a spirit of fear, that he will always be with you. This brings us to our the end of our lesson tonight, Here Comes the Judge, Series 3. And so if you just did not have an opportunity to just write fast enough, please go back and visit this program again and the prior series and on the Internet. And you can visit this on www.blogtalkradio.com/hearttoheartmfth. And that's heart, the number two, heart, and that's M-F-T-H. That means mission from the heart. And just revisit this and write down these rich nuggets that you can deepen your walk in Christ Jesus. Again, thank you, and have a continued Thanksgiving. And Pastor Crow, I just want to thank you again for joining me, and I will be super excited and ready to go through to 6 in Here Comes the Judge with Gideon.
Uh-huh.
And you have given us some...
I tell you what, Sister Smith, what a wonderful way. I've had the physical food today for Thanksgiving, but what a way to spend a Thanksgiving evening with spiritual food. And you
Amen.
Really did whip it up, so I'm full again. I was full earlier, but I'm full again, and I want to thank you for this delicious Thanksgiving meal in the Word of God. What a way to spend Thanksgiving. God bless you and God keep you.
Well, praise the Lord. And this brings us to the end. So God bless you for your faithfulness, but most of all, stay faithful to God the Father, and just know that in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So thank you. This has been Mission from the Heart Radio, and good night.
Good night.
You sit at a desk. They sit at a desk. You have sales reports. They have book reports. You need supplies. They need supplies. Business is a lot like school. That's why your small business should take advantage of back-to-school deals at Staples. Now, Staples 1-inch 3-ring binders are $1.92. One subject notebooks are just 25 cents, and two pocket poly folders are just 35 cents each. Make back-to-school your business at Staples.
In-store only while supplies last. Offer ends 9/1/18, limit 30.